Welcome to our service this morning. It's good to have you here. Welcome if you've been before. Welcome if you're visiting. I can't see anybody who hasn't been before, but it's good to be here to worship God together. I invite you to join in our gathering prayer, as it's called. So if you join with me in this, in the slightly heavier time, if you can work out to stay out. Okay, I need my napkin. Anyway, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Lord, meet with us, walk with us, open your word, open our eyes. May we see you, risen Saviour. Warm our hearts with your living presence. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Now, you hopefully noticed the title of this week's service. Bit of a strange one. Restructuring imagination. You may have various reactions to that statement. It may be along the lines of my imagination doesn't need restructuring, or things like that. But just sit with that title as we go through the service. Some situations depend on how you look at them, don't they? Take this one.
Yeah.
Alright, some people say that glass is half full. Some people will complain that it's half empty. Yes, it depends on how you look at situations. Some people look at situations a very strange way. An ostrich puts its head in the sand, and so nothing happens. And there's a wonderful Farmers and Swans song, if you know them at all, about the ostrich burying its head in the sand. I'll need you to explore that one at some point if you don't know this. Or, you could be like this character. What is it? Head in the clouds? Too heavily minded to be any earthly use? Or something like that? But it depends on how you look at things. Right. Okay. Don't say anything out loud for a minute, but what do you see in this picture? Okay. Hands up. Probably it is or give me a wave if you see the red Indian. Right? Hands up if you see the Eskimo. Yes? Hands up if you see both of them, because you're clever. Yes? And I knew I should have got the other pointer. On the left hand side is what is either the red Indian's nose. Yeah? And his eye is just up a bit on the sort of right hand in the middle. Or the thing sticking out on the left is the arm of the Eskimo, and the eye is actually the bottom bit of his foot, and he's looking into a cane. Now, can you all see that? Well, just about. The ear of the Red Indian is the Eskimo's hand reaching out. The Red Indian is facing that way, the Eskimo is facing that way. Kelsey, have a look at me later, I'll show you this. Now this one, I am not going to judge you, depending on which one you see. Let's start with the first one. Hands up if you see the word equal. Hands up if you see the word good. Yes? If you just sort of focus in and out of it, you probably manage to see both words. Good surrounds the evil. Good is bigger, better, whichever way you look at it. But it is. Sometimes we look at things in slightly the wrong way. Sometimes we miss other things. We definitely need Jesus to open our eyes to see things of God. And this is what this first song mentions. I don't think they suit me. You walk on slightly dark, but they're not doing what they're designed. They are not sunglasses. I mean, when you put sunglasses on, it helps your vision to get sunlight. It hinders your vision if you try and wear sunglasses when it's not sunny. If I tell you it says on the side 3D, you know what they are? Three dimensional. And some films are not going to work. You get these, you go and watch them, because they're supposed to be completely on the back screen. But if you use them normally, they make no difference whatsoever, apart from surrounding a bit like shaving, slight darkening things. We talk about glasses, we talk about people looking at situations through glasses, don't we? We have the phrase virtuous tinted spectacles. Yes? What's me? You don't see it as that, as it is. You don't see it as it is, right? What does that actually mean? What do you see the world as? Sorry, is that good? Well, you want to see, that's a good description, yes. If you like, you're limiting your imagination. You're not allowing your imagination to see everything, you're just limiting. You're limiting your focus. Now, I have a set of messages here. You may just be able to leave them. I presume you can see the thing in red, which says confusing messages. I'm running into trouble here because it's not as good on here as it would be on the back page, and if you literally have rose tinted spectacles, you can see red, cancel out the red. If I put a red screen over, you may be able to just make it out, make it any brighter. It says, can you read this? To which some of them will say, no. Yeah. But that's fine. So I'm just going to flip through this quickly, hoping that some of you will be able to see what's happening. Hard pressed, not crushed. Right? Wasting away, renewed daily. Perplexed, persecuted, struck down, you put the filter on, no despair, not abandoned, not destroyed. What distracts us from seeing God's truth for us today? We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. That's another. Though outwardly we are wasting away, our life and momentary troubles. The one who raised Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus. And you may just recognize those verses. They're actually verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, which we'll be hearing properly read, not in disguise, later. But sometimes we need to look through a lens. And I would suggest to you that we need to look through the lens of Jesus at situations, instead of letting other ideas cloud our vision at all. So, restructuring imagination. First comment is that imagination is actually a precious gift. We should thank God for our imaginations. And I love this one. Michelangelo quote says, I see the angel in the marble who carved until I set him free. You know, I personally would just see a lump of marble, or a big lump of marble, but sculpture, and I've heard other sculptures say this, they shape something into different things. I hope that's clear to some of you. This one particular angel, the Michelangelo carved. And if you are interested, that is in Italy, the Basilica of San Domenico. Here's another angel. But somebody with imagination. Okay, they're not carved. But the only one you saw in the Weekly Telegraph is mentioned in there as well. It's the knife angel. And 27 foot tall, the travels around the UK, and there are thousands of blades in it. But each of those sticks is a knife. And it's a knife that had been handed in, been taken off a few people, and put together to make the sculpture to challenge people out of my comments. That takes imagination to have done that. It also takes imagination to actually have it. So in the country, 27 foot tall. You know, what am I, 5 foot and something? So 27 foot is 5 times my height. Or 4 or 5, anyway. That's an incredible height. C2C, I'm involved with the organisation of getting this knife angel to, is that New Market, Northampton, going back to Cambridge then, Northampton and Corbyn is going to, and then it's going to Wellington. And they've asked us to pray. Because it's not just something to look at and think, oh, is that fantastic? It's something to challenge people, it's something to say, did you realise what this situation is about? And those of you that have seen the slides rolling at the beginning of the month at the end, they actually have got a prayer thing that you can opt into if you're on the internet. If you don't do the internet, then all they ask you, please, is to just remember that in prayer and that God will use the knife angel to speak to people. Poem about two people who were under a little bit of a cloud, not being able to focus.
In the latest poem, it's called In Disguise. Well, excuse me. While they were walking together, he drew near, in disguise, quietly listening, unnoticed for a time. While they were talking together, he came alongside. The lady, interested, inquiring about their conversation. Don't you know, they said, I don't know what it is. He smiled. Tell me about it, he said. And so they did. As they walked together, and he quietly listened, in disguise, naked before him. And so they talked, and he listened, nodding at the news that he already knew, already understood, on a much deeper level. And when they had finished, he spoke, in disguise. And he took them back in time, back through history and the prophets, back through pain, and trouble and longing, back to the dawning of a crown. And so they stopped for food, and he broke bread, as he had done with them only days before, and he lifted the bread in his guise, and lowered it as Jesus of Nazareth, the resurrected one. And as their eyes were opened, he disappeared. No more need for disguise, no more need to be there in that place. And so they ran back to their friends. No more escaping, no more fleeing. And as they told their story, he drew near again. And so it is today. Jesus of Nazareth often walks close, in disguise, resurrected, listening, understanding.
Amen. Thank you. The brother to the two disciples walking. When our imagination fails, hope dies. When our negative thoughts cloud our vision, we sometimes can no longer picture a positive future. When our imagination fails, hope can die. Dreams can collapse around us. And it's at those points we need our eyes open, we need our imagination like reconstruction. That's what we see in the two people walking to Emmaus. They used to imagine a bright future with Jesus. But they now talk about him in the past tense. What they actually said is that we had hoped that Jesus was the one who was going to redeem Israel. They had hoped, but now no more. No hope whatsoever. In their grief and disappointment, they failed to recognize Jesus as he actually is there with them, as he actually starts to break bread. If imagination fails, hope dies. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem this world. This passage also tells us this, that Jesus meets us in our mess. We don't have to tidy up our lives, get everything straight, put on our Sunday best to meet with God. God will meet with you in the garden in your messy clothes. God will meet with you anywhere. He will meet with you in situations where you are struggling. And from the world's point of view, you might call it a mess. The two disciples were actually in some ways walking away from them. They were walking away from all the other disciples. They were walking away from where Jesus had died. But even as they walk away, Jesus joins them and walks with them. We're misled if we think God is not interested in the messy parts of our lives, in our pain or our difficulties. When we walk away, he is still present, even though we can find it hard to recognize him. George Werwer, the founding director of Operation Mobilization, which some of you will have heard of, has coined the word messiology. There is a word missiology which talks about the mission of the church. Some of you have heard me use this word before. Messiology is slightly different. He writes, messiology is the idea that God, in his patience, mercy, and passion to bring men and women to himself, often does great things in the midst of a mess. So be encouraged when your life seems to be a mess. God is still at work, and sometimes he can work better with us in those situations because we end up more vulnerable, rather than thinking, we've got it together, I can do this, I can sort this. When you're in a mess, you need help. He argues, this is George Werwer, that God works to bring good, even out of church splits, division, and in sinful behaviour. He still works to bring good through that. He comments that I believe history will show that God was doing way more in the midst of our messes than we realised at the time. I don't know if you can look back with hindsight over your own life and see that God's hand has been in what to you was a very difficult situation and brought you through. He notes also, George Werwer, that God works through organisations that he disagrees with theology. He says messiology is the mystery of how God works even when it doesn't make sense to us. I rather like that. It doesn't make sense, but God's at work. We can trust him for that. The challenge for us, I think, is to trust God that even when we find ourselves in a rubbish situation, in a mess, or even when we're inclined to criticize what somebody else is doing for God. Imagination reborn. Those disciples on the Emmaus Road were hoping that Jesus would overthrow the Romans by military, political might. When they looked at the cross, all their imagination told them was that's defeat. But on the road to Emmaus, Jesus transformed their way of looking at the world. A guy called Robert Reisler has written this. Jesus appears to them on the road, listens to their discouragement, and by restructuring their imagination and consequently their faith, he has them returning to their faith dream and their church on that same day, with the humiliation of the crucifixion now integrated into their understanding. As he breaks the bread in that room in Emmaus, Jesus gives them new eyes to see the world, to see his suffering and their own suffering, and to see that not as defeat, but the path to new life. And that's exciting. I referred to the words earlier when we had the bread thing coming over. They're from 2 Corinthians 4, 20. Could you please give us the reading from 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 to 10 and 16 to 18.
But we have this treasure in jumbled clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are not placed on every side, but not pushed, perplexed, not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our lives are momentary work of God, are shewing for us an eternal glory that far outweighs the Lord. So, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, or what is unseen is eternal.
Thank you. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs all. I don't know how you came to church this morning. I don't know if you have light and momentary troubles, or you're thinking that your troubles actually are brilliant. But outwardly we're wasting away. How many of you think you're wasting away outwardly? Well, there's a few honest people. Wasting away. Physically wasting away. Physically, you're not the person, you're not a teenager, bright-eyed, idealistic, 20-year-old or anything. Well, some of you commented to me about getting older. Vera!
Laura, you're still the same inside.
Exactly!
You're well aging, but you're still the same inside.
Well, which is exactly what that says.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Vera. Right, we can check that. Vera's endorsement. But inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. Inwardly is actually more important than outwardly, if you think about it. So we fix our eyes, we restructure our imagination, we refocus on what God is doing, and try to look through Him at the world, because it's the only way we can do it, rather than letting things cloud in on us. I know there are situations where you are struggling. I can remember falling off my bike, crashing my head. Unfortunately, I had a helmet on at the point. And all at that point, I could focus on pain and wondering if I'd done some serious damage to my skull. That's fair enough. I'm not on about those situations where you have to deal with what's happening. But there were people around who could help. I would be worried if any of you had had that happen, and then 2 years later you're going, my poor head still hurts. You go through situations where your focus does turn inwards, but then you have to pause and let it turn back out to the world around. Pain causes you to close in. We need to sometimes make a conscious effort to restructure our imagination. You, me, are God's work of art. Have you ever thought of yourself as a work of art? Well, there you go. There is a beautiful sculpture inside that he is revealing by allowing setbacks and struggles to chip away at the stone hard outer layers. Not my work. Okay. Not my work, but I rather like the image of God working. We have things like bodily findings mentioned in the Bible. We can start to reimagine the future that God has for us, his church, the world, and a glorious future that passes through pain on the road to freedom. And I would encourage you to embrace that. In our response, let's sing the song, Lord, I Come to You.
Thank you. I can't imagine. But all the fact I'm all the way just within that Sunday, which I find a little more complicated. I think that's all I need to tell you about at the moment. Let's come to God in prayer. Let's bring the need of the world, our own needs to Him. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us that our minds are so full of words. And forgive us even more that our hearts are often crammed up with thoughts and ideas, leaving little room for meeting you. Lord, thank you for imagination. Thank you that that is a precious gift to us. We thank you for the good things that surround us. The people we've seen this morning, the friends, our family. Thank you for the beauty of nature and the flowers. And the garden, and I thank you for the rain as well. But Lord, as we look back over this morning, as we look back over this last week, thank you for the way you have blessed us with good people and with enjoyable experiences. Lord, we're aware that when our imagination fails, hope dies. And we think of some places in the world, particularly out in Ukraine, or for those people that have been taken into Russia prisoners. I can't stop to think what they're imagining. Pray, Lord, for a glimmer of hope there, so their hope wouldn't die. But that, Lord, there would be little things happening for those things. And we just pray for the overall peace in that area. That you would stem the tide of evil that seems to be taking over the past. We pray this too for other areas where there are difficulties. We think of the situation of the Virgin Islands as well, with the turmoil that's been caused there. Lord, you know the different situations. And we bring them to you, asking for you to inspire and guide. Jesus meets us in our mess. Thank you that you do, Jesus. And Lord, we pray for the situation that we know, which we are in our mess. Whether it's people struggling with illness, or struggling with just providing food, they have to pay their eating. You know the different situations in our land. Lord, we think of our government. And there I say one thing to be a bit of a mess. But Lord, you know. You know about the voting coming up this week. And thank you that you do work given the messes. And pray you bring good in these different situations. We think of our friends and family who need a touch of your love. May they know you in that situation. May their focus move to see you at work in their lives. Lord, we ask you to take each one of us and speak to our hearts and guide us forward as individuals and as a church. That, Lord, your light will shine through us to those around. And we light on their darkness. And in doing so, we resource their imagination. They will be able to see you. Amen. But one more reading, which might help a few of you explain about the resurrection life. But I think it was quite an opportunity to hear it. Could you come and bring us Colossians chapter 3?
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to see you all.
Good morning.
So,
So if you are serious about living in a resurrection life in Christ and like Him, pursue the things over which Christ commands. Don't shut them off. I am to friend, the Lord has been writing front of me. Look up and be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's ready action. See things from His perspective.
See things from God's perspective. Come to our last song. Christ, whose glory fills the skies. Thank you.
To be your resurrection people.
Amen.